little bit later in the service, we're going to share communion together, okay? It's not about a piece of bread. It's not about a cup. It's about what that bread and what that cup represent. It's about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus that turned the world upside down and really right side up and brought God's kingdom to earth. And what it's about is what happens to our heart in that moment. So you can go take a piece of bread and take a cup and just, okay, that's not communing with God. It's about directing your heart to him. It's about communing with him and with others and taking that time to pray and think about how Jesus' life for your life has changed everything for you, and it's changed everything for the world, and how people need to know that and understand that. And we have an opportunity to share that with people. So James goes, look at verse 13. Are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. So if you're struggling, pray. Go to God. Is that your default? Like, where do we go for our answers? Where do we go when we need to know something? Google, right? I mean, it's become like the God of our age. It's crazy. The first thing we do. Now, I know that that's, you know, we need that information and stuff like that. But we'll go to other people. We go so many places other than God. Start with God. Go to God. Here's what Jesus said. He goes, you know, don't ever forget. He's got every hair on your head numbered. A sparrow doesn't fall to the ground without him knowing it. And yet he loves you. And he wants to have a relationship with you. He created the universe and he created you. All right, he's sovereign. So talk to him. I mean, just think about how foolish it is that we don't talk to God. And he invites us in. And so why don't we talk to him? Why don't we spend that time? I don't know if it's because we don't believe he's really there, he's listening, or maybe we think, man, he doesn't, I mean, my life's so messed up, I mean, my sin, I can't talk to God, he doesn't like me, you think he's going to condemn you. I don't know what it is, but there's things that keep us away from him. And the Bible tells us, listen, he understands, and he even empathizes with our struggles. Doesn't mean you don't have to get past your struggle. You don't got to get past your struggle before you go to God. Go to God, and he will help you get past your struggle. Look at Hebrews 4:14-16. It'll come on the screen. So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses. Okay? He faced all of the same testings we do, yet he didn't sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive what? Mercy, and find grace to help us in our time of need. So what is your vision of God? This God that you're invited to come to, is it the God with the hammer who's ready to just crush you for your sin? Or is it this loving God who gave his son and his heart breaks over that sin? And he goes, just come to me. What will you receive? Mercy and find grace in the time of need. Not a God who's just going to go, hey, it's okay. It's okay. I love you. Just keep doing what you're doing. I would never do that with one of my children who was doing something stupid and running astray, right? I wouldn't stop loving them, but I certainly wouldn't endorse what they're doing and encourage them to keep on doing it. But man, I want them to always know, come to your daddy and I'll be there for you regardless. And then let's talk about what you got to get right in your life. Let's work through this. Let's do it together. See, that's God's invitation. He goes, Jesus came and walked the earth so he would know what it was like. See, he never sinned, but he experienced all the temptation, not just temptation, tragedy and struggle, loss. He saw friends who lost family members. He wept. I mean, all of that. So he knows it all. If you're mad at God, tell him, talk to him, go to him. He's there and he's inviting us in. He goes, listen, even in your deepest struggle, you'll find mercy and grace in your time of need. And so we need to pray. We need to cultivate a stronger prayer life. I'm going to give you just a couple of points that can maybe help you, okay? These are real simple things. Again, nothing super revelational about this or secret, just real simple, okay? First, prayer needs to be planned at times. All right, sometimes, you know, you think, well, I just want to talk to God, and that's great if you do that. But if you look back at the week and you haven't spent 10 minutes talking to God, maybe we need to plan it, right? We plan things in life that are important to us. We plan working out. All right, some of us do, right? I mean, not me, but some of you guys, you plan your workouts. You plan family time together. You plan date night, or at least you should, man, okay? Plan date night. You plan the things that are important to you. And so it takes time and commitment to create good habits in life. So sometimes you just need to plan it, carve out time, whether it's the morning, whatever. Just get before God. Not plan out a time to go through your prayer list, but to really talk to God. And then it needs to be, that time needs to be prioritized. So it's not like I plan this time to be with God and there's all these other things going on that distract me. I mean, can we turn off the devices for just a minute? You know, it's funny. I mean, I'm a father. I mean, kids, they're into video games. They're into Instagram and all that stuff. And I find myself getting frustrated, right? I want to lay the law down and no screen time during the week when school, that's kind of our deal. From Monday to Friday, no screen time. And then me and mom are like, you know, check our email. You hear the little thing and you got a message. Can we at least do that when it comes to our time with God? I mean, just shut it all off. Can this be more important than anything? Right? But what if someone needs, okay, he's God. Okay, he knows if you're needed. He will work those things out. Okay? Take the time. Prioritize it. If you're Facebooking or Instagramming or whatever, your time with God, you know, your picture of your Bible and your cup of coffee, and you could be pretty sure you're not really communing with God, okay? Hey, God, just a minute. I got to show everybody I'm doing this. Seriously, right? I'm not saying you're wrong or evil if you do that. We've all done that at times, probably. Less distraction, more interaction, real communion, okay? So plan it, prioritize it. How about this one? Pray with other people. Get with other people who love God and want to talk to God. Pray with other people. And some people in here go, you know, Vic, I just, you know, that's my personal time with God. I don't like to pray out loud. Here's what I would say to you. Get over yourself, okay? That's a pride issue. I mean, really, it really is a pride issue. And I'm not saying you got to become the intercessor who's up at the church praying 2 hours, you know, a week or a day or anything like that. But talk to God with other people. I mean, at the very least, man, we got to be people who, the men in this room should be people who are leading their families in this, okay? I went back there with some of the leaders this morning. We prayed over all those kids who are going back to school. And my hope is that all of us in this room did that for our families or do that for our families as well. I mean, there's no secret. It's not how good of a prayer you are. You're just talking to God. If we're real hesitant and we're like, man, my assumption is going to be that you probably don't talk to God a lot. That's why you don't like to do it with other people. It's like you don't do it. So here's the thing. Just start doing it. When I got saved, I was a crazy, pot-smoking college, you know, just my life was out of control. When I came to Jesus, I remember going to this pastor's house who was right down the road from me, and I had met him, and he was just the greatest guy, young guy, and I would go to him, and we would get together, and I'd talk to him about the Bible. I'd be like, dude, the Bible, man, so heavy, you know? I'd be like, and we'd pray, and I'd be like, dude, you know, I'd be like talking to God like that, you know, like, and he never once was like, hey man, you know, you're talking to God, you shouldn't use words like dude, or you shouldn't do, you know, and I know there's reverence and stuff, but my heart was radically changed, and it was just who I was, and I was just being real with God. Now, things changed a little bit when I understand, man, this is God, the creator of all things. All right, let me take it back a notch, right? But be yourself. That's all I'm saying. Be yourself. Talk to your father. How do you talk to your father who loves you, who sent his son to die for you, invites you in? And then there was times where, man, I just like get on my face, like, holy cow. I mean, like, God? like the God of the universe, and he forgave me for all that stuff, and he still loves me, all the stuff I was doing. I'm like, you know, so whatever he does with you in those moments, let it be authentic, let it be real. And talk to him. He'll lead you, he'll guide you by his spirit who lives inside of you. Pray, praise. Look at James 1:16 to 18. Don't be misled, my dear brothers and sisters. Whatever is good, perfect, is a gift coming down from God our Father who created the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. He chose to give us birth by giving us his true word. And we, out of all creation, became his prized possession. I mean, you're his prized possession. He loves you. He calls you out of this world into fellowship with him. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. Anything good in your life comes from the hand of God. So if you don't think you have anything to be thankful for, just ask yourself, what is there that's good in my life? I mean, we have things to be thankful for every day, folks. I mean, the fact that we could walk into this place this morning and have all of our faculties, I mean, praise God, thank God for that. I mean, thank him, he says. And he says, sing praises. Now, this one is a tough one for some of us, right? Because some of us just don't like to sing, all right? At least in gatherings like this. And I hate to pick on the guys, but, you know, a lot of times it's us guys, right? We just don't like to be out there and sing. And again, let me put it this way. If you could go to a stadium and cheer for a team like the Jaguars, you can certainly give God a little bit of praise and cheer for him once in a while and thank him. Amen. All right. I won't go on about the Jaguars, but I mean, you know what I'm saying, right? There's things, and if you're like me, we all sing a little bit, whether it's in a place like this or not, man, that song comes on the radio. Am I the only guy who, like, a song can come on the radio, or man or woman, not just guys, but a song comes on the radio, I haven't heard it in 25 years, and I just all of a sudden know every word to it. Well, maybe like every other word, because my wife always corrects me, because I always miss key words. I'll be singing in the car, and she'll be looking at me like, what are you talking about? Like, and then she'll correct me on it, because I always mess it up. But you know what I mean? Like, that stuff, why does that come to mind? Because you've heard it over and over again. You've kind of sung it in your heart. And I mean, that's what the praises of God need to be like for us. Don't let it just be on Sunday morning. I mean, get some of that stuff that gets in you during the week. And it doesn't have to be the stuff you hear on Christian radio or anything. It could be just you alone with God, just thanking him. I mean, it should stir up something in our hearts, and we sing praise to him. This is a great opportunity, all right, to get that started, because usually the music's so loud, all right, nobody can really hear you. That's why I love being on the front row usually, because I sing loud and I'm terrible at it, and nobody can hear me except every once in a while, like some of the singers, like Danae Bunso has said it one time, like, man, you were really singing this morning. Like I throw them off because I'm so bad, right? So if you're like that, you don't want anyone to hear, then move up a little so you don't have anyone in front of you. But just sing out to God. Worship him from your heart. All right, and then verses 14 to 16, James 5. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you've committed any sins, you'll be forgiven. Confess your sins to each other. Pray for each other that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. All right, I'm running out of time, and so I'm going to kind of condense this last part. First, before I jump into this passage a little bit and pull a little bit of it apart, I want to make sure that we don't miss one simple, deep truth in this passage, okay? We all need God, and we all need each other. Okay, so when he says, if you're sick, what should you do? Does he say, pray for yourself? That's an okay thing to do, but what is he talking about here? Call the elders of the church together and get them to pray over you, right? When he talks about confession, who does he say to confess to? What does he say? Each other, right? See, we need God and we need one another. There's got to be a level of authenticity in our relationship with God, and there's got to be a level of authenticity with one another. And the problem is the church has done too good of a job or bad of a job of condemning and just, in a way, forcing people to put on masks when they walk into places like this. Instead of openly loving those people authentically so that we can put that guard down and be real and open our heart up. You go, man, but my sin's ugly. I don't want to tell anybody about that. Well, then you're probably going to continue to struggle with it. You know what I mean? Like, there's some of us in this room who've been struggling with the same sin in our life for years. And you're going, yeah, Vic, but I'm getting a little better. Well, listen, it's been 15 years, okay? Are you really getting a little bit better? And it's not about getting better. It's about God coming in and bringing healing. And he goes, confess your sins to one another. Why? So that you might pray for one another. And what will happen? You'll be healed. There's actually studies that doctors have done that they look at people, just confession actually does something physically to your body. It actually relieves anxiety. It does something. Now you combine that with the power of God, the Spirit of God, the love of a community, and it'll change your life. So, I mean, we just got to be willing to sometimes just get rid of the masks and be real and be honest. We need one another. Levi, you guys can come on up here. I'm going to wrap up in a minute. We need one another, and we need God. And I want to encourage you, don't be a stranger to gatherings like this. Listen, it's not about church attendance, all right? I wrote a book talking about how it's not about that. It's not about the institutional side of church, but we need each other. And if you're not together somewhere, I mean, it's just an easy place for this to happen. We come together, we see people we haven't seen, and we hug each other, and we're encouraged. And then hopefully we go and have lunch at times, and then we start to open up those areas of life that need to be opened up. And we've got people we trust, and we think they love us, and we can let them in a little bit. And it helps us. It helps me be a better father, be a better husband. It'll help you be a better worker, a better wife, a better mother, a better student, all of those things. We need God and we need one another. And we need to grow in our relationship with him and our relationship with one another. Man, so much more I wanted to say. We might do this another week. It might go back. Might finish James next week. But James says, the prayer of a righteous man or woman is powerful and effective, okay? And so, as we confess, as we pray, it's not about how good you are. You go, I don't feel very righteous, Vic. Anybody feel super righteous? Hopefully not, because Paul goes, no one's righteous, not even one. But his righteousness comes to us when we put our faith in Jesus. I'm going to close with this, 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him who had no sin, Jesus, to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So we're going to share communion in a moment. You see the bread and the cup off to each side and in the back. We're going to pray for one another. I invite you to come up with your family, friends. Take that bread. Remember Jesus' body that was broken for you, his blood that was shed. Commune with him. Commune with others. Share together. Maybe talk to each other. Maybe pray about things. Maybe there's confession that takes place. At the same time that that's going on, there's going to be some of us up here, leaders here at Emmaus. And if you want us to pray for you, like James said, hey, listen, if you're sick, come ask the elders of the church to anoint you with oil, to pray for you, and to believe God for healing. Does that healing take place every single time the way that we want it? No. Paul prayed about this thorn that he had, and God said, my grace is sufficient for you. But God will meet us in that moment. And we believe that he does still heal today. And sometimes we don't see that healing this side of heaven. Sometimes we see it when we cross over. The place where there's no more tears, no more pain, no more disease. but we believe him for it now. So if you got anything going on, you go, I need someone to pray for me. Something physical that's going, come on up. We'll trust God. We'll believe. It's not about our righteousness. It's about his. It's not about how good we are as leaders or anything like that. It's about him. And we're going to believe him to move in your life. If you want to just talk to someone, maybe you want to confess with a brother or sister and you want someone to pray, come on up. Maybe it's just time for you to go take that bread, take that cup. I encourage you, try not to do that alone. If anyone sees anyone alone, invite them into your circle. Take that bread. Remember what Jesus has done. Take that cup. God, help us to follow you. Help us to pray more, to be the people who sing those praises. If you would, let's stand together. I want to pray for us, and we're going to sing a few songs. Again, make your way over, however you feel led, to the communion tables. If you're a visitor and you're not a follower of Jesus, just sit back and relax during this time. Maybe not relax, but just listen to the songs. Take it in. Let God work in your heart. And for the rest of us, let's commune with him. Let's commune with one another. If you need prayer, just come on up during that time as well. You'll have time. We're going to sing a few songs. So let's pray. God, thank you for your word. It's powerful. It cuts to our heart. God, forgive us for not taking advantage of the opportunity to talk to you, God, the creator of all things. God, that we don't believe that you love us at times, that we don't believe that you'll move in our lives, that we don't believe that you are the God who still answers prayer, who still heals, who does these miraculous things. Yet we're told that Elijah was a person just like us, and he prayed that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't for 3.5 years. And he had all of his flaws, God, just as we do. So we come before you. Help us to turn our hearts toward you. God, speak to us during this time to remember that this world, this kingdom, it's not our home. Our life is but a mist, here today, gone tomorrow. Help us to live it for you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.